Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Rivadakacharya, Asatara, Sattu, Shri, Sriman, His Divine Grace, Shilesi, Bhaktivedanta, Swamira, Srila Prabhupada, Kidra, Gaur Premanande, Hariva, all glories to the Sound Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasadaya Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Dhaname. Namaste Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Bhajarane, Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya Desitarane. Oma Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya, Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigrom Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home, text number 59 to 60. And written on the board is 60. Pumsam Amayinam Samyak Bhajatam Bhava Vardhana Shreya Dishati Abhimatam Yat Dharma Adishu Dehinam Pumsam Amaninam Samyag Bhajatam Bhava Vardhana Shreya Dishatya Bhimatam Yadharma Dishu Dehinam Pumsam Amaninam Samyag Bhajatam Bhava Vardhana Shreya Dishatya Bhimatam Yadharma Dishu Dehinam
Amen.
ladies.
Om Samam Hainam Samyak.
This is the other. Thus, kayena. Well, I'll just read the Sanskrit for the other one. Evam kayena manasa vachasa cha manogatam paricharya mano bhagavan bhaktimat paricharya pumsam. Of the devotee. Amaniyam. Amaniyam nam amayinam, who is sincere and serious, samyak, perfectly, bhajatam, engaged in devotional service, bhava, vardhanaha, the Lord who increases the ecstasy of the devotee. Shreya, ultimate goal. Dishati, bestows. Abhimatam, desire. Yat, as they are. Dharma, adishu. Regarding spiritual life and economic development. Dehinam, of the conditioned souls. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who thus engages in the devotional service to the Lord, seriously and sincerely, with his mind, body, and words and body, and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods, is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. If a devotee desires material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation from the material world, he is awarded these results. Please repeat. Anyone who thus engages in the devotional service of the Lord, seriously and sincerely, with his mind, words, and body, and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods, is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. The devotee desires material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation from the material world, he is awarded these results. Purport. Devotional service is so potent that one who renders devotional service can receive whatever he likes as a benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls are very much attached to the material world, and thus they perform religious rites, and thus by performing religious rites, they want the material benefits known as dharma and artha. Usually it's kama and artha, but here it says dharma and artha. I'll read the text again in the Sanskrit. Evam kayena manasa vachasa cha manogatam paricharya mano bhagavan bhakti mat paricharya pumsam amaninam samyag vajatam bhava vardhanaha shayodishat yabhimatam yadharma dishu dehinam. Anyone who thus engages in the devotional service of the Lord, seriously and sincerely, with his mind, words, and body, and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods, is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. The devotee desires material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation from the material world. He is awarded these results. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutte Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vijarane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said something similar. He says, Chatura Vida Bhajante Imam Jana Srikitina Arjuna Arta Jignasa Artarati Gani Cha Bharatarshava. That there are four kinds of pious people who approach me. So the Artas, or Arta Artis, the first ones that they begin with, which are in the category Shudras, they're pious, they don't have very much knowledge, but they're willing to follow directions. So generally they want sense gratification. Actually, we're suffering in the material world due to sense gratification. But due to ignorance, we think we're suffering due to lack of sense gratification. That's called illusion. Maya is pushing our senses, bewildering our mind, into believing that we're suffering because the senses are not contacting their objects. But actually, we're suffering simply because we're identifying with the desire that the senses contact their objects. And because we're absorbed in those thoughts, therefore we're not thinking of the ultimate satisfaction and relief, namely Krishna. In the stage of Bhajana Kriya, for instance, there is one stage, Vyudhavikalpa, where the devotee is speculating too much about to gratify the senses or not to gratify the senses. But because one is absorbed in such thoughts, therefore, one is not thinking about Krishna. And because one is not thinking about Krishna, therefore, there's no end to the speculation that one can go through. But as soon as the mind is fixed upon Krishna, whether there is sense gratification or lack of sense gratification, the soul, who is the actual person, he's beyond sense gratification or renunciation. He's on the platform of Krishna consciousness. But the Shudra doesn't know that, but because one is regulating the senses, following some direction, therefore there's some relief. By following these four regular principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. So this is freeing us from suffering. Nowadays, people think that these poor devotees are suffering because they're not engaging in these four principles. But actually, the people are suffering because they are engaging in these four principles. And then, of course, even when one regulates the senses, still one is in anxiety that perhaps even the required amount of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending will not be provided to me. Therefore, the next one is artha. Artha means economic development, which is in the category when one is pious as a vaishya. So this is here in the realm of economic development. Nowadays, practically speaking, the whole world only fits into two categories. Either desiring economic development in an illegal way, not following any rules and regulations, in order to gratify the senses, so-called gratify the senses. So you have a few vaishyas who are cheating everyone, and everyone else is being cheated. Being offered the opportunity for sense gratification that doesn't really exist. Being told that if you buy this and you buy that, you do this or you do that, your senses will be gratified. But they're never gratified, so that's cheating. And the people who make the money, they buy some house outside of the city where there's fresh air, clean water, peace, good food, and the people who are being promised so much happiness if you just work very, very hard, they have to live in some congested place where there's no clean air, no fresh water, no nice relationships, full of anxiety. I was reading in one, it was a video. One lady was suing the New York City because, not New York City, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Because after the Twin Towers went down, the Twin Towers, I read in one place, they were planning on demolishing the Twin Towers previously to 9/11. But they were told they couldn't demolish them because all the outside of the building or some part of the buildings, they're all lined with asbestos. And it would have contaminated the atmosphere. It was illegal. So they would have had to take down the Twin Towers one story at a time. That would have been very expensive. So someone, by some miraculous benediction, the Twin Towers came down. So it saved whoever owned the Twin Towers so much money. And at that time, we can imagine, somehow or another, these buildings made of concrete and steel turned into dust. Dust thou art, thou dust thou will become, I guess, something like that. So it all turned into dust. However it happened, we won't go into that. But within that building, there were tens and thousands of computers with 5 pounds of lead in them. There were thousands of tons of asbestos, plus all these other things like the mercury, which is in the computers, and other types of chemicals. And they all turned into dust. And the dust didn't just fall down right on the spot. It spread everywhere. And especially nearby was a school where I went to a different school, high school, but it was a school that was quite close to the school I went to. And I played them in tennis. I knew them quite well, that school. So that school was right next to, not that far away from 9/11. So all the dust from that cloud settled into the school. So the parents were a little concerned to the point that they did some testing and found out there were millions of particles of asbestos in the rug, for instance. And the school board claimed that was nothing, it was just normal. And there were, the whole ventilation system was clogged up with all kinds of chemicals, and the school board claimed it was normal. They didn't want to clean it, etc. So some of the parents objected. They didn't want to send their children to school. So the principal came and said, no, if you take your child out, then they can't come back. So they had to keep their children in the school with all these chemicals all over the place. And then 4 days later, the principal disappeared. Didn't come. He didn't show up for the rest of the term. In other words, let the kids die, but I'm going to take care of myself. In other words, cheaters and the cheated. People with a little position or power or influence or intelligence, they're engaged in claiming that these different activities will make you happy. And therefore, they cheat the poor, innocent people. And the result is that they take their energy and then they utilize it for the same activities of sense gratification, maybe a little higher class, hoping to become happy. But because their brains are full of anxiety and sinful desires, therefore they can never become happy either. So everyone in this world nowadays is being cheated. Some people think that they're cheaters, and other people think that they're being cheated. But ultimately, everyone's being cheated. And then the jignasu, Those who are inquisitive. So inquisitive about what? Everyone's inquisitive how to better lord it over the material nature and enjoy here. So those who have a little knowledge, they have to get it from the Vedas. And the Vedas come from the knowledge of the Brahmins are expressed through the Brahmins. So those who are administrators, those who have a little bit more understanding how to arrange the material world for happiness, they have to get that knowledge from the Vedas and the Brahmins. So here that's the religiosity. So the Kshatriyas especially, they're in charge of implementing religious activities. So religious activities are meant so that we can regulate our sense gratification, our economic development in such a way is that we get liberation. So that's the job of the Kshatriyas. And they're supposed to find out how to live in the material world in a practical way so that our economic development, sense gratification, is carried on in such a way is that ultimately we get liberation from the material concept of life. If that type of religiosity is not there, then it's called cheating, kaitava. Dharma prayojita kaitava utra paramo nimatsaranam satam. That type of religiosity which does not aim towards liberation from the material concept of life, which does not regulate our senses, does not regulate our mind and words, does not regulate our economic development in such a way as that we're properly gratifying our senses, then that's called kaitava, cheating. And ultimately, the purpose is liberation. Therefore, four kinds of pious persons approach Krishna, wanting one of these four categories. But because they're approaching Krishna, they're considered to be pious. Therefore, the Vedas encourage that. They offer, Krishna says, Ya idam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita veda vatarata partha nanyam astiti varina. They offer kamatmaka swarga para janma karma pala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishvara gatim prati. They offer different allurements so that people can be put onto the path. So they can be put on a path where they properly are engaged in economic development, where they become a little religious. Even to regulate the number of times a week or a month you kill goats to eat them, that's considered a little bit religious. Some regulation, some following some instruction. It's not the highest standard of religion. We can claim that we read in some Veda that you can take a goat onto the top of a hill during the new moon, when there's no moon, slit its throat, and chant the mantra, "Now I'm going to slit your throat, but don't worry, because in your next lifetime, you can slit my throat." So for certain classes of persons, that's certainly elevating. More elevated than going to McDonald's every Tuesday and Wednesday with the family. That kind of regulation is not as auspicious as regulating, according to the Vedas, the killing of a goat. Not the cow, just some insignificant animal like a goat. And then after some time, one will realize that by the law of karma, I'll have to suffer, and one will become discouraged from killing more goats. It is not by chanting the mantra into the goat's ear that I'm not going to get any reaction. No, I'm hearing what the reaction is. And anyone who's foolish enough to keep on killing goats like that, then he deserves the reaction. But one day, it is hoped, by tasting the goat burger, which is probably not the most delicious thing in the world. I couldn't tell you. But in any case, one day one will wake up and realize there must be some higher activity. Yesham antikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva mohanir muktva bhajante mam drida vrataha. Those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful reactions are completely annihilated and are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So those who are too sinful, those who are atheistic, those who are foolish, those who are sinful, atheistic, deceitful, and something else. Now, they never take the devotional service. In other words, the four classes of diskritinas, the Maya Pritigyanas, those who are speculators, those who are Asuram Bhavam Ashityas, those who are atheistic, the Naradhamas, those who have know what's actually supposed to be done in society, what civilized society is supposed to be, but they act like animals, and those who are mudas, who have no knowledge. In other words, they're living in the material world, but they're not pious at all. They've given up their piety. So those persons can never take, they don't take any path, regulated path. But in the beginning, one may regulate his senses through the Vedas. And then by regulating the senses through the Vedas, one will rise up to the platform of acting in the mode of goodness after some time. And then after acting in the mode of goodness, one will gain some knowledge and then accept devotional service. And after accepting devotional service, one can rise up to the platform of knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, get to know Krishna, and then meditate in trance upon Krishna. So this is a process, a continuous process. Ho bhata swapato cho garyan yajivagre vartate nama tubhyam tapusta paste duhuva sharshna arya brahmanuchura nama grinanti yate. That anyone who's chanting the holy name, it's understood, even if they didn't go through every specific process in the Vedas, but they reached the conclusion of the Vedas. That is all religiosity, all economic development and sense gratification, all attempts at liberation, ultimately culminate in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and service to Him, consciousness of Him. But all attempts to follow the Vedas will ultimately, if properly done, bring one to that position. And therefore, they're recommended. But if one doesn't come to that position, Tyaktvasa dharma charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo tatpato yadhi yadvarta varptam vajitam sudharmataha. We just left out one line there. That duties dharma, although they're imperfectly done, if they're done to please Krishna, then what is the loss? On the other hand, even if one perfectly follows one's prescribed duty, but he doesn't become Krishna conscious, then what does he actually gain? To give up tyaktvasa dharma charanam bhujam hare, if one gives up his prescribed duties but takes to the devotional service of Krishna. So that's our fortunate position, that we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Practically speaking, before we came to the Krishna consciousness movement, the only thing we were told is make money and enjoy the senses. Where was the religious training? Even when one goes to church, what does one learn in terms of how to regulate the senses during the week? Very little at best. Therefore, who knows what their actual prescribed duty during the week is, other than just make money and enjoy the senses, and if you're a little pious, give something to the church. When the basket comes around, throw something in, and then you're a good person. But that's not we have to know how to regulate the senses, not only when we're in the church, but outside the church. Some regulation. So we didn't know that, but when we came to the Krishna consciousness movement and we took up the process of devotional service, therefore, although we actually did not necessarily immediately become qualified in any of the varnas or ashrams, still immediately we engaged our senses in Krishna's service and therefore we began making progress. On the other hand, those who are not intelligent enough or fortunate enough to engage in Krishna's service, they should at least be encouraged to engage in some kind of regulated activity that will ultimately lead them to the position of the mode of goodness where they can understand the value of devotional service. Similarly, for the devotees, Even though we're engaged in a lift by the chanting of Hare Krishna and by hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and by the activities of devotional service, still we may not be intelligent enough to really understand what exactly we're doing, but be convinced enough that actually the goal is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that often people come out of distress. And then they follow the regular principles for some time. Their distress goes away. And they think, now I'm liberated. What do I need Krishna consciousness anymore? And then they go out with more determination to enjoy their senses. Because it's hard to forget Krishna. You feel guilty. You leave and the super soul is, you started to hear the super soul and he keeps on going that this is not a good idea or you're going to get a reaction. You go, I don't want to listen to this. Just go away. I don't want to listen to you. So Krishna says, all right, I'll give you the intelligence so you can forget me. Just start taking drugs and drown me out. You think, Maya says, that's a good idea. So often we see the devotees that go away from Krishna consciousness. The immediate response is they become even more fallen than before because they have to try very hard to forget Krishna. And after they fall down for some time, they realize they're in more distress than they were before they started. And then they make some attempt to pedal back a little bit, back to Krishna consciousness. But not too close. Therefore, Krishna will give everyone. It is not only the devotees Krishna is giving the intelligence. He's giving intelligence to everyone. What they're doing. Yanti deva vrata deva. Pitri yanti putri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhyaji no pima. If you worship the demigods, Krishna will give the intelligence how to become a demigod. If you worship the ghosts, you'll become a ghost. He'll give you so much intelligence, soon you won't have to worry about a gross body anymore. If you want to become a devotee or anything else, Krishna will give the intelligence. But Krishna doesn't recommend anything else other than becoming a devotee ultimately. But still, Krishna is so kind, he'll give everyone intelligence according to what they desire. And what we desire will depend upon who we're hearing from, who's glorifying what. If we have no knowledge, or according to the knowledge we have, whatever glories we hear about anything will attract our minds. And we'll desire to understand how to experience whatever is being glorified. So in the Association of Devotees, we hear the glories of devotional service, and therefore hopefully we become inspired to experience something what's being talked about. And as soon as we leave the Association of Devotees, we hear the glories about so many things. Watching birds, collecting butterflies, about the latest different types of wine. So many, anything goes. And we'll become interested. Yeah, what does this taste like? What is it like, this butterfly? What does it look like? What does it feel like to have the biggest collection of butterflies in Los Angeles and be proud of it? So, whatever we're doing, Krishna will give us whatever we're desiring, whoever we're associating with. Then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to fulfill that and obtain that experience. But if we follow the Vedas, then gradually our desires, our association will be directed towards more and more pious persons, more and more pious desires, and ultimately we'll understand the actual value of devotional service and the other desires for illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling will disappear. The desires for so-called material security will gradually diminish. Our desires to understand how to save the world will diminish. Our desires how to regulate will simply desire to become an instrument for Krishna. And that will be the perfection of life. And if not, then Krishna will give us, that's hopefully we can understand that and try to stay on the path of devotional service, tolerate our misconceptions, tolerate our material false habits or unwanted habits, go on with the path, and gradually everything will become clearer, and we'll know exactly what to desire, how to desire, when to desire, and Krishna will then reciprocate with us and give us all intelligence how to work properly in this material world to become his bona fide servant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Haribo. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. You said that when somebody go away from Krishna consciousness, he start to be more, you know, demoniac, more want sense gratification. But after, when he start to be fried, he won't come back. He won't come back, but not too close.
Sometimes.
Why not too close? Why? Why is it like that?
Well, because we approach Krishna with the idea that we wanted to have the best possible gratification, or those, for instance, who are in distress, they want to get free from their distress. That's their goal. The goal is not Krishna. The goal is to enjoy the material world. But if Krishna can help them do that, then they're willing to serve Krishna. They have to serve someone. So if they hear that Krishna will help them get free from their distress, they're willing to do it. And when their distress goes away, then their material desires are still there. And because they don't have enough intelligence to understand why they were in distress in the first place, then they go back. Just like Hati Snana. The elephant bathes in the water and then comes on the land and throws all kinds of dirt over his body again. So because one didn't understand that the source of his distress was the sinful activities, one goes back and tries to enjoy again after one gets free from distress. Or probably gives the example of the bed bug. During the winter, it gets very thin. It's very austere. It goes through so many austerities. And then when it wakes up in the summer, it starts sucking blood again and just expands. Go into that. To some degree. Otherwise, it's mixed devotional service. It's not that the devotional service doesn't exist.
It wouldn't be like karma yoga instead of bhakti yoga?
Well, karma yoga is part of bhakti yoga. When there is not so much knowledge, not so much renunciation, then it's said to be karma yoga. Or karma yoga probably said in another place, he says, well, one knows that the goal is Krishna, but one is addicted to the results of one's activities, who enjoy them, one is said to be acting in karma yoga. When one knows that the goal is Krishna, but one takes pleasure in mental speculation to try to understand Krishna, one is said to be acting in jnana yoga. And one knows Krishna is the goal and works fully, completely, to please Krishna, to obtain Krishna, then he's said to be acting in buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. So buddhi yoga is the goal. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, the different stages leading ultimately to bhakti yoga.
What's being described here as engaging in devotional service for material desires, is that called bhakti yoga?
Well, as I said, that's part of anashram. The four kinds of pious persons who approach Krishna, they're considered to be devotees, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, but they're not considered to be pure devotees. The Shudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, the Brahmins, they're considered devotees of Krishna. That's Daivi Varnashram, but they're not considered to be pure devotees. So it may be considered to be devotional service, because without devotional service, one doesn't get any results. Without some bhakti in there, there's no results for anything. But one won't get pure devotional service that way. It has to be a haitukiya apratiyata. Yes?
Pure devotional service. But you're doing it under the instruction of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, Krishna accepts that service and you get the benefit. Because Prabhupada becomes pleased, and then Krishna has to do something. He has to, you know, award you some spiritual advancement because his devotee is pleased with you. So this is how it works. You come in, you're attracted for some reason, you do some service, any service in the beginning, anything, doesn't matter. Prabhupada accepts that service, he offers it to Krishna through the chain of disciplic succession, and then Krishna gives you the result. And then gradually, as you maintain that, like you said, just stay on the path, and then everything else will fall away.
Because Prabhupada, yeah, in one sense, but Prabhupada, his instructions within this movement are for pure devotional service. We're not, although he did introduce the conception of vanashram, but he introduced that within the conception of devotional service to Krishna, not simply vanashram. So, although we ourselves, we're going to be, especially in the beginning, we're going to be included within the four pious persons. But ultimately, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, it's the jnani, the topmost kanishta adhikari. When he performs, he can understand what real devotional service is and come to the madhyamam platform, where actual pure devotional service begins. So though in the beginning we're going to be, by executing the activities, the devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee, we'll become purified ultimately to the point where we can actually begin real devotional service to Krishna on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, or pure devotional service. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.